कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री भगवान ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. My water bottle is there. My water bottle is there. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashtaprayesh bhadreshu नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're continuing from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, Text 16. Evam vido brahmachari vanaprastho yatirugruhi charan vidita vijnana param brahmadigacchati एवं विदो ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थो यतिर्गृहे चरण विदित विज्ञानः परम ब्रह्माधिगच्छति। एवं विदो ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थो यतिर्गृहे चरण विदित्व विज्ञान परम ब्रह्माधिगच्छति। एवं विदो ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थो यतिर्गृहे चरण विदित्व विज्ञान परम ब्रह्माधिगच्छति। एवं विधो ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थो यतिर्गृहे चरण विदित विज्ञान ब्रह्माधिगच्छति। एवं विधो ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थो यतिर्गृहे चरण विदित विज्ञान परम ब्रह्माधिगच्छति। एवं विदः इन दिस वे ब्रह्मचारी वेदर वन इज ए ब्रह्मचारी वानप्रस्थः और वन इज इन द वानप्रस्थ आश्रम यति ही और इन द संन्यास आश्रम गृही और इन द गृहस्थाश्रम चरण बाय प्रैक्टिस ऑफ सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन एंड अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ Vidita Vijnanaha, fully conversant with the science of the Absolute Truth, Param, the Supreme, Brahma, the Absolute Truth, Adigacchati, one can understand. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By practicing in this way, whether one be in the Brahmachari Ashram, Gruhastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram or Sannyas Ashram, one must always realize the all-pervading presence of the Supreme Lord. For in this way, it is possible to understand the Absolute Truth. Purport. This is the beginning of self-realization. One must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This education is called Brahma Jigyasa and is the real concern of human life. Without such knowledge, one cannot claim to be a human being. Rather, he remains in the animal kingdom. As it is said, Sa eva go kharaha. Without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow or an ass. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse begins with evam vidho, in this way, having known this way. And this way is in the previous verses that we've been discussing. The life of a brahmachari, the life of a grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. So this is like a summary verse, a concluding verse of the brahmachari and the brahmachari and the grihastha life. In the next verse is going to begin speaking about vanaprastha life. So when he says evam vidha, in this way having known, and he says then the four classes, brahmachari, vanaprastha, yati means sannyas, and Gruhi, Grihastha. All these four, he says Charan. Charan means living in this way or cultivating one's life in this way. Actually, the word Charan means to move or feet. Charana is to walk. So when it says Charana means to move about in this way. Charan, vidita vijnana. Vidita vijnana means, vidita means to know, and vijnana means to have realized knowledge. So one should move about, one should live one's life with, Prabhupada writes, fully conversant with the science. Jnana is knowledge, and vijnana means realized, or science that's beyond theory. And jnana becomes vijnana, how? Application, very good, thank you. When we hear something, if we don't apply that, so for example we hear, one should be humble in one's interaction with other devotees. If we don't practice that, then we will not realize what it means. What's the, how Krishna decorates the heart. We will have some other vijnana. We'll have the realization of the consequences of offending a devotee. So we want to learn with experience, with proper realization of the subject matter. For example, we can tell others, chant Hare Krishna nicely. But if we ourselves are not chanting or not chanting nicely, we have nothing to express. But what will happen if I chant nicely? We wouldn't have the experience to say. We can only repeat theoretically, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, the heart will become cleansed. How? I don't know that. Next, we'll just give a whole list of theory without any realization. Prabhupada's definition of realization is you hear a subject matter and you repeat it with your understanding. Now you can't understand, any one of us cannot understand without applying that knowledge. So here Vidita Vijnana is that one is fully conversant. But conversant about what? Vijnana about what? Param Brahma. He is fully conversant about self-realization and the absolute truth. That means he is Krishna conscious. And he says, Adigachati, one can understand. The word Adigachati in Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada translates, because this word comes a couple of times, Prasadam Adigachati. Adigachati, gacha, means to go. Adigachati means he arrives at or he reaches his destination. So Param Brahma Adigachati means one who lives his life according to the teachings of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and applying them in his or her individual situation properly, one reaches the absolute truth. That's the verse. Then Prabhupada says, this is the beginning of self-realization. What is the this? Do you know what is the this in the purport? He says, this is the beginning of spiritual life. In the next sentence, he says, one must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This is the beginning of spiritual life. So let's unpack that. Until we come to meet a devotee, or until we come to the point of exploring spiritual life, we're only aware of one thing. Everything around me is matter. I don't even have the concept of spirit. How many of us knew we are not this body before we met Prabhupada's books or devotees? I had no clue. I mean, I heard it throughout my childhood, but I had no idea what that meant. From my childhood I heard, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. But I didn't know what that meant. I couldn't explain to anyone that I am not this body until I met Prabhupada's books. Or Prabhupada's books met me, however you want to call it. I had no clue, although I knew I am not this body as a Sanskrit phrase. But what it really means, I have no idea. And I'm sure for all of us, it's something similar. So the first step of spiritual life is the consideration that there is a conscious living entity. Is that who we are? And this entire world is a combination of spirit and matter. Before that, it's all matter. So the first step of self-realization, Prabhupada says, one must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere. In this room, where is Brahman? Where is the spirit, the spiritual beings in this room? Can you identify? Okay, only you? All of us? Who else? In every atom? The tree there? The plants? Where else? On the altar? Kishore Kishori, Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra, and Gornitai, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta. They're living entities, right? And everywhere else, some are visible, some are not visible. So there is matter and there is spirit. And the first step in self-realization is that awareness that there are so many living entities for all parts and parcels of Krishna. And second, he says, how Brahman is present everywhere, and two, how he is acting. So this Brahman, in this particular case, Prabhupada puts a capital H. So he's referring to Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Kishore Kishori, Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharaj, Gaur Nitai, Shri Prabhupada Bhakti Samaki, Jai. Second darshan for the day. So, how he is acting. Particularly, he's talking about the presence of Krishna everywhere and how Krishna is acting. So, in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva describes Janma Adhyasa Yataha, that he is acting such that everything in creation is coming from him. And then Anvayad itaratashcharatheshu abhigya. He is directly and indirectly cognizant and aware of everything and everyone in creation. Wow. So the Krishna, super soul, he knows about every one of us, every living being and every atom, wherever the living beings are. He knows the entire past, he knows the entire present and the entire future down to every detail. And doesn't have to pull his hair, create a data center, the air conditioning for it, make sure there's electricity just to store the data, and once in a while issue a little statement saying, I'm sorry to inform you, someone hacked into our system and now they know about you. His data center is very secure. And that is just the Paramatma feature. So he says he is directly and indirectly aware of everything. Abhigya. And then Swarat. He is supremely independent. Now we live in an independent nation, and none of us can say that we are independent. We are independent only within a limited framework. As long as we follow the law, we're independent. We violate the law, finish with independence. Now, even within the so-called independence that we have, that I can move about here and there, I'm still governed by the laws of nature. I cannot say, hey, I decided today, I don't want to grow old. It doesn't work that way. Or I decided, today, I will not go to the bathroom at all. It doesn't work that way either. I'm pushed by the laws of nature. I can say I will not eat anything. That might be a good attempt. I won't say it. Particularly me, I will never say something like that. But I can't say it every day because I'm governed by hunger and thirst. So really speaking, that sense of independence is not there. There's only a slight hint of independence that I can choose Krishna in all my situations. That independence remains. All other features of independence is but illusory. But Krishna is Swarat. He is independent eternally. He can always say, I will not grow old. And he has not grown old. He is ever Kishore Kishori. There is nothing that obliges him, that he cannot, he's dependent on someone else or something else. I'm dependent on food to survive. It's something extraneous to me. I'm dependent on air to survive. I'm dependent on a house to live, otherwise I cannot survive. Krishna doesn't need all these things. So he says, Abhigya Swarat. And then, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaya. He is the first person who spoke this knowledge in the heart of Brahma. So any knowledge has to come from him. But Mukhyanti Yat Surayah, he is not understood even by the great demigods. He can put even the great demigods into illusion. They want to speak of us. To be a demigod is not ordinary. It requires very, very pure living. Very austere life prior to becoming a demigod. One has to live purely, one has to live austerely, and one has to live religiously in order to become a demigod. And even after that, with such a refined consciousness, they can be put in illusion. And demigods are, because Bhagavatam is full of demigods being put in illusion. Mukhyanti yat surayah. And what is the mukhya, the illusion? Tejo vari mridam. Yatha vinimaya. So teja vari mridam. Teja is fire, vari is water, mridam is earth. He says vinimaya. They're always changing and they appear as if one exists with the other. Teja vari. You see water and fire? Yeah, it's called a mirage. You're in a desert, very, very thirsty, and when you look there, you see water. And you feel, ah, there's water there. And we walk. What happens? The mirage moves with us. Because it's the heat that's evaporating the water, or it's a water vapor in air that appears to show as if there is water. There's no water there. Tejavari or Vari Mridam, land on water. If you're lost at sea and you look far away, it always appears that the land is not too far. And boats and people were adrift. They never find land. So it seems something exists when it is not really there. That is called Maya. So this Tejavari Mridam phenomena is that in this world we're all thirsty, hungry, and we're chasing after happiness that doesn't exist. And that is the illusion we've been put into. Oh, it's right there. Oh, it's in him. It's in her. It's in this situation. It's in that object. It is in this lifestyle. It is in this money. It is in it's all being illusory, just chasing after something. Tejo vari mridam. And he says, Amrusha. Amrusha is, he himself is never bewildered. Krishna is never confused. Why? Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. And he eternally lives in his own spiritual abode, which is free of this kind of illusion. So that's the personality we are serving or getting to know by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. And when we know, our own illusion goes away. Until or unless we come to know Krishna even little bit, our illusion will continue. And we should not be like, why is this continuing? Because we are living in an illusory world. Unless we are connected with the one free of illusion, we will not be free of illusion. That's just the law of life. So this purport Prabhupada says, one must first understand how Brahman is present everywhere and how he is acting. This is the beginning of self-realization. Therefore, even the Bhagavad Gita starts with Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe. There is Brahman everywhere. This education is called Brahmajigyasa, Prabhupada writes. So Brahmajigyasa means our culture, our upbringing, our association, our books, our life, what we do, our occupation, they must all nudge us in one direction. Now when we see life, we see that each of these nudges us in different directions. Our culture nudges us in a particular way, our occupation nudges us or pushes us in a different direction. The association we have pushes us in a different direction. The kinds of books we read, kinds of whatever programs we watch, the news we get, they're all splintering us in different directions. But they're all meant to actually direct us in only one direction, and that is to know Krishna. So this is called Brahma Jigyasa. Prabhupada says that the human spirit, in fact every animal is like that, but especially the human spirit, is about researching. It wants to know more. The animals, their research is only for four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Their nose or ears or eyes, they're searching after food, they're searching after sex, or a place, secure place to sleep. That's there where the research ends for the animals. But the human spirit, the consciousness is such that he wants to research why buildings are constructed this way. What is the field of engineering? How do you create minimal stress on the beams and pillars? Okay, that's in architecture. In engineering, and I want to create, build this bridge, I want to build this device, I want to build this vehicle. The human spirit is always searching, and it is searching for more truth. However, it is searching in a very, first of all, searching in the wrong place, and two, it's searching within a very limited framework. Limited framework is that material energy is unlimited, of course. Otherwise, all researchers would be out of job now, because for so many years we've been researching. If that is unlimited, what to speak of the unlimitedness of Krishna? Why not research that? And anyway, researching something within matter, that's fantastic, but that will end. So rather, it is required that we research into the endless Brahma Jigyasa. And that is what the human spirit is meant for. So therefore, this verse says, evam vidho, for the ones of Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyas, there's only one thing to do. Evam vidha, live in this particular way so that one can come to know Krishna. This is the success of life. So one may ask, what is my real ashram? This is a common question. And the answer sometimes is not, many times is not clear. One, it's not clear because we are all born with mixed samskaras, and the mixture is so thorough that sometimes we feel like a brahmachari, sometimes we feel like grihastha, sometimes sannyas. Forget all this, I just want to be a sannyasi. And then we're hungry and something happens and whatever, change our things. Always are unclear. It's this very murky condition because the way we are born without proper samskaras, unfortunately, we're born with a very hybridized, messed up consciousness. That's the best way I can put it. In the previous ages, with proper samskaras, to a very large degree, the composition of the consciousness was very clear. So after staying in a guru's house, a guru could very easily say, here's a Brahmin, here's a Vaishya, here's a Kshatriya, like that. Now we can, someday this way, someday like that. So the default is, Shudra works for everyone. Just get a job, earn some money and live, okay, however you can live. So the idea is to find that specific composition of consciousness, which is very difficult. So we sort of tumble into life. We kind of stumble into some situation and say, ah, this is where I'm going to be. So the point is, wherever you are, the focus of that situation must be only two things. Study Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna. If these two are being done, then that ashram is successful. If these two are not being done, then there is something to revisit. Not the change ashram necessarily, but change circumstances so that these two can be done. And when these two are done, the verse is Parabrahma Adigachyati. One achieves Krishna. Otherwise, one is lost. One will continue being lost, how many ever adjustments one might make. Or maybe I should find a different job that doesn't take so many hours. Maybe I should live in a simpler house so I don't have to maintain it so much. Maybe I should, change from this career track to that career track because maybe that has better prospects. Maybe I should, whatever changes I need to make. All of that is only what's called a band-aid solution. It's a temporary adjustment. And after that temporary adjustment, the suffering will continue. So one of my favorite analogies that Narada Muni gives is when a person is carrying a very heavy load on their head. After some time, the neck hurts. So what does the man do? He shifts the burden from the head to the shoulder. And then the neck feels better. So he travels along further a little while. And after some time, the shoulder hurts. So what does he do? He shifts the burden to his waist. So now the shoulder feels better. Then he moves along. And then the waist starts hurting. So what does he do? He takes the burden, puts it back on his head. So this is life in this material world. All we're doing, or what people do, is they shift the burden from one place to another. We call this adjustments of circumstances. But nobody pauses for a moment to say, how can I get rid of this weight? The whole adjustment is, how do I adjust it here and there? So I can carry it along with me. But why not just get rid of the weight? And that getting rid of the weight is, in whatever situation one is in, these two things should happen. Studying of Prabhupada's books, chanting of the holy name. Because these two give the real perspective to life. And without this, that perspective is lost. That's what Prabhupada writes. Sa eva gokhara, rather he remains in the animal kingdom. Without such knowledge, one is no better than a cow or an ass. So cow or an ass, why these two examples, we revere the cow. The point is, whether you're a very gentle animal or a completely stupid animal, you're still an animal. That's the reference Bhagavatam is saying. One doesn't have to be, I'm a cow, you're an ass. It doesn't matter. You're an animal. So this distinction, that distinction doesn't matter. The idea is to become a human being. And human being means studying of Prabhupada's books and chanting of the holy name. So that one can use one's circumstance of life to achieve Krishna. So in the Bhagavatam there's a famous verse. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya varta. Verse means jnane prayasam. Forget about this whole research into different aspects of life, the different sciences, jnana. Forget that for a moment. Jnane prayasam udapasya. Udapasya means to give up. Namanta eva. Simply fold your hands. Verse is saying, simply fold your hands. Namanta eva jivanti sad mukharitam. Fold your hands. sit down and hear from the wonderful mouths of the great devotees. Here we're hearing from Prabhupada and the Bhagavatam. Mukharitam, sanmukhara means the mouths of the saintly persons. Bhavadiya Varta. Varta means news. Bhavadiya Varta means, Krishna, we want to sit down and hear about news of your activities. Because Krishna's activities are always newsworthy. Everything else newsworthy in this world is, my father used to joke that when I was young, there was a cartoonist who had said that we can always predict the news. And this is what he said in Hindi, and I'll explain in English. News is about mar gaya, lut gaya, jal gaya, pit gaya. Somebody is dead, somebody is beaten, somebody is burned, somebody is killed. This is all news is. It's just that it changes, or somebody is cheated. This is it. Faces change, names change, circumstances change. At the end of the day, this is news. So it's rotten in that sense. But fresh news is Krishna. He says, Bhavadiya Varta, I want to hear the news about you. And for me to hear that news, Sthane Sthita Shruti Gatan Tanuvan Manobhi. Sthane Sthita is whatever circumstance one is in, just stay put. And Shruti Gatan, hear it, Tanuvan Manaha. Tanu means with your body, Vak with your speech, and mana with your mind. Ye prayasho, anyone who endeavors with his body, mind and words to align his life in such a way that he or she can hear from the saintly persons, ajita jita api, jito ajito api, one who is not conquerable becomes conquered. Krishna becomes conquered by this ardent desire to hear from saintly persons. And this is the success of life. And so, anyone asks, what's the secret of success? This is the success. And whether one is brahmachari, grastha, vanaprastha, sanya, whatever is one's situation, evam vidho, this is charan. Let's conduct our life in such a way that one can hear, read from Prabhupada's books, and chant the holy name. Then one becomes successful. That's the purport. Any questions or comments? Of course, now it's easier said than done. And every day we have some challenge, some practical challenge that interferes with this. That interferes with this very glorious objective of life. So then it behooves us to find solutions rather than in different areas, in areas where we can read Prabhupada's books and chant the holy name. Those are real solutions. And ask guidance or help, sort life in a way, but this can be done. Okay. I'll keep quiet. Any comments, questions, objections?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. You said Krishna is aware of everything.
Krishna is aware of everything?
Directly.
Yeah, unfortunately, he is aware of everything.
directly or indirectly?
Directly or indirectly.
What does it really mean, directly or indirectly?
Directly and indirectly means by the agency of his energies, he is aware. Because his energies are everywhere. And he gets information. And directly because he's in the heart of every living entity. So his energies and he himself, they're everywhere. So either way he gets the information. For example, in our own life, we may not be in a particular situation. We are not comparing ourselves to Krishna, but this is just like a simpler way to understand. We may not be in any particular situation ourselves, but someone might call us and say, did you know? So now you're aware of it. Something we tease our son Prahlad is, He may not be with us. He may be anywhere. But whatever he does, we come to know. Now that we are not Krishna, so our sensibility is not the same. But this way or that way, Krishna comes to know. Now he knows directly, in a sense, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. His energies and he, they're always together. So directly and indirectly, he's aware of everything. Yes, Bhagavan.
Just a comment that I, just through all this session, just keep appreciating. I mean, we have hear it so many times. You mentioned it, you know, Prabhupada's genius in terms of being able to taking into consideration the circumstantials position of the living entity in Kali Yuga right now, as you said. It's all a mishmash, you know, kitri of consciousness and tendencies and this and that everything is so really messed up that to be able to obtain the result, the param brahma vigacchati, to be able to have some methodology to come to that result, really it's the work of a, you know, you have to be Krishna himself through this devotee. You actually is able to put something in place that is able to obtain the same result that it was obtained in previous ages, that everything was so clean cut, you know, like that. So it's very wonderful to appreciate that of our founder Acharya. That so simple.
What you're saying is there in the 11th canto, 5th chapter. That's what I'm studying right now. And this is Karabhajana Muni speaking to King Nimi. You know those famous verses, Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam. It's in this chapter. So he's speaking because Nimi asks, what about the different incarnations of the Lord? So he speaks about in Satya Yuga, this avatar appears, in Treta, this one, in Dwapara, this one, Treta, like this, in Kali Yuga, Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam. And then he gives this verse, one of my favorite verses about Tyaktyasudushtajya Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim. That's the whole verse it begins. And the purport is that this verse describes Lord Ram, Lord Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All three. So it's considered to be the Shadbhuja form description. And then the verses continue. And the purports are this. That in Satya Yuga, everyone is living very purely. So they don't have the difficulties that we have. There's no sinning. There is no difficulty. Everyone is very, very spiritually elevated. And in Treta Yuga, they are trying, because now between Satya and Treta, there is a little drop in consciousness. So they want to perfect their lives. So they're very religious and pious. In Dwapara, they're also working very hard to become self-realized. But in Kali Yuga, is the verses describe that everything is messed up. And so the advantage of being in Kali Yuga, that's what's being discussed, glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that in Kali Yuga, the opportunity for calling out helplessly is far more than in Satya Yuga when everything is working very well. So the persons in Satya Yuga apparently don't call out to Krishna so desperately. Like we see, when things are working very well, we're not desperately remembering Krishna. Only when there is distress, Krishna help me. In Kali Yuga, that opportunity is intensified because there's distress every moment. So the verses are describing that demigods, they are thinking, oh, this Kali Yuga people, they're very fortunate. They get to participate in the Sankirtan movement. And we are thinking, oh man, the Satyuga people, they had their life well made. Why am I in Kali Yuga? So the Bhagavatam describes that actually Kali Yuga persons are more fortunate. They don't have to meditate for thousands of years. Live austerely, sit in one position, breathe only once in a month. They don't have to perform all these fantastic yajnas, swaha, all the mantras perfectly, you know, nothing. Just chant Hare Krishna, even pronounced wrongly still has the effect. So they're very fortunate. So when you're saying genius, this is why Mahaprabhu appears. The Bhagavatam is extolling that this is why Mahaprabhu appears. He makes it very easy. Just call out Krishna's names in desperation. So we call out, thus the desperation is not there. I can't say we, I should say. I call out, but I have no desperation in it.
I appreciate it very much the how you put in terms of it, that analogy. Is it analogy that given the keeping the weight in the head?
Yeah, Narada Muni.
And just such a simple process that, you know, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, our the acharyas has given us, and we still refuse to let go, you know, the weight of material attachments, you know. And I appreciate it when you mentioned that we may change circumstances and try this. Okay, let me, you know, hit, you know, a little thing on myself, because, you know, you're trying to change the circumstances to make it better, but if you still carry, you know, your things, it's just not going to, it's not going to fully manifest. So
when you were speaking, I had this picture in my mind that the modernist will say, carrying burden on your head, that is so primitive. So now what we have done is we put wheels to the burden, so you can just walk nicely without having to carry it. But the wheels are there. You're still holding on to the burden. It's not like you've given it up. Now there are wheels, so you don't feel it so much. Right? We have all these bags with wheels. In the previous, we used to have coolies in India. We still have porters, as they say. They would carry all your bags on their head, and you'd pay them something. At least British India was like a porter. This guy would come and they would carry all the bags. And now, at least at that time, it was luxury. Someone else was carrying your weight. Now you're carrying your own weight. So they put wheels to it. You don't feel it. Aha, no problem. We can carry our weight. But still it's with us. Whether it's here or with wheels, you're still holding on to our baggage. That was the picture. So the modernist will say, see, we've advanced. Do you feel the burden anymore? No, because there are wheels. And the spiritualist will say, fool, you're still carrying your burden with you. Like that. Jitendra Prabhu?
You're speaking about the sadbuj.
Sadbuj.
The devotees brought the sadbuj deity to Japan, you know? And the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, and he said, why are you bringing the sadbuj deity to Japan? Prabhupada said, these people are so fallen, they'll need three gods to save them. then you were talking about material energy, and he was saying, we're serving serving Krishna directly or indirectly, by his external potency or by his internal potency, either by the three modes of material nature or by, you know, in your liberated state. And then I think you said information, but no transformation. And then Prabhupada would say, they're learning more and more about less and less. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a few things that came to mind.
Thank you. Yes, Tita.
My question is about this. You said in whatever circumstance you are, just stay put. And then we hear messages like you should have ardent desire for hearing. So in like inspired by such messages at an immature platform, you just leave everything and you just want to hear and chant, meaning you don't want. So a healthy mix of life is you have a full life and everything you're doing in Krishna consciousness. But then how to have that healthy mix and then stay put in that situation?
Oh, very simple. If you just drop everything for hearing and chanting, suppose we do that. Tomorrow and day after, we feel hungry and tired and sleepy and no money and we're out on the street. Then all our hearing and chanting goes away. Or whatever is the drastic change of circumstance. But the hearing and chanting is cultivated in measured ways every day to come to such a stage that even if there's nothing to eat or drink or sleep or no money, that wouldn't bother us. Today it would bother us. So we've been reading Lilamrita. Prabhupada came, there's no money. Yesterday we read, no? The bus pulled into Butler, Pennsylvania at midnight, and he into Pittsburgh at midnight, and it was 4 a.m. by the time Prabhupada reached Butler, Pennsylvania. We don't know what he was eating, whether he was eating anything at all, but his hearing and chanting didn't stop. His absorption rate didn't change regardless of situations. So we would aspire to come to such a place. So we, to aspire to come to such a place, you have to start somewhere. And then starting somewhere is that every day we hear and chant. We study Prabhupada's books and we chant the holy name. Anything else we do, very quickly it will hit us in the face. It's easy to say, oh, from today onwards, I drop everything else in terms of responsibility. So we're studying the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The chapter begins with a yogi or a sannyasi is not one who does not light a fire or perform his duties. So even Prabhupada, even sannyasis have duties. Although they are outside the social order, they have duties. Until they come to Paramahamsa stage. And once executing one's duties properly facilitates hearing and chanting. Always the case. If hearing and chanting is not going on, that means one's duties are not being executed properly. One is either overly greedy or overly ambitious or underperforming or totally averse to it, either attached this way or averse this way. That's not going to work. So one should be dutiful. That was the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita. If you're dutiful, you can hear properly. And any discrepancy in one's dutifulness, one cannot hear. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.